from the Post Media, Mr. Jerry Mottajohn. And Jerry, first thought, how the jerseys looked out there?
The jersey, you know what? The jerseys looked good. The shirts that were given away to the first 35,000, I know they didn't need nearly that many, but man, they looked good. I saw some foam antlers in the stands. The new mascot Spike, I guess is a little bit surprising. It looks like an elk. Wasn't a big fan of the elk call. Like, this is a real deal. Like, it doesn't sound like a bullhorn, man. This sounds like if you're walking through the forest and something is injured, it would be making that sound, not something I would be, you know, frightened and run away from. So they might have some work to do.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's kind of work our way through the team. Let's start with, you know, arguably the most important position, Trevor Harris. You know, a lot of yards in the air, three interceptions. You know, what did you think of his first game in, you know, since this pandemic started?
Yeah, for sure. You know what? My initial impressions are it sure didn't take this team long to be, you know, leading the league in net offense, yet still finding a way to leave something to be desired in the standing. So kind of the same sort of thing that plagued the team during Jason Moss's tenure as head coach here. You know, look really good, put up really big numbers on offense, and those three interceptions were the game. Not only that, I mean, they looked great in their opening drive. You know, Harris marched them down, didn't incomplete a pass all the way into the red zone. James Wilder, boy, he got rolling. It didn't take him too long. What did he? I think he had 160 yards from scrimmage and 24 total touches. And I believe he leads the league in shortest jersey, too. Boy, that thing barely covered his pads. But it all looked really good. But, you know, you come up a foot out of bounds in that end zone toss. And then, of course, a yard shy at the end of the game. And that was the difference.
Jerry, I thought personally, I mean, moving the ball seemed okay until they got, you know, the 35-yard line. In between the 30s, the offense looked very efficient. What do you think the biggest reason was for the struggles once they got to or approaching the red zone?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be too hard on them. Obviously, nobody wants to throw three interceptions in a game. And that's, I mean, Trevor Harris still completed 75% of his passes, even with those. So, I mean, obviously, preseason games would have helped, you know, especially, you know, being off for what 20 months since the game was last played. So obviously there was some rest. Hopefully you know, red zone doesn't become an issue like it had previously, for this offense as fans, you know, can remember back to him 3 seasons ago. And you know, give Ottawa their credit. I mean, they certainly defensively came up and won that game. But Edmonton's defense, I mean, you can't forget. What did they surrender? About 94 yards of offense in that game, and it still lost. So it was there was a lot of good and bad. I'll put it that way.
You talked about James Wilder and all that he was able to do for the team. Obviously, carrying the ball 15 times, another 9 receptions. Is that something you think we should expect to see more of throughout the year? Just keeping him the focal point of the offense.
Yeah, boy, I hope so. I'm sure they'll, you know, keep going back to that well until it, you know, either dries up or they just start, you know, really keying on him defensively for whatever opponents come up. But he so far has been everything he's cracked up to be, and it was really fun to see. I mean, he replaces C.J. Gable, who was what was he, about 220. I think Wilder's, you know, got at least 10, 15 pounds on him, but he's also, he's the guy's a tower. It's just really fun to see him when he starts getting going, for sure.
Jerry Mottajohn of Post Media joining us here on the Jason Gregor Show discussing the Edmonton Elks. They fall to the Ottawa Red Blacks 16-12 on Saturday night. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, I was a little, I wouldn't say nervous, but I had some questions about that front four. Wanted to see how they'd hold up throughout a full game, but, I mean, Boateng, Betts, Moore, Ceresna, they were outstanding.
Yeah, they were leading the league in sacks. They got 5 of them, which is exactly what Millsap wanted the identity of his defense to be. But I agree with you. Total questions coming in defensively. I mean, let's remember, GM Brock Sunderland completely rebuilt this secondary over the what I call extended offseason. I mean, there wasn't a single starter there from last year they played, although Aaron Grimes was making his return, and we know him well. I mean, they did great, but the big question was going to be how the, you know, the two rookie linebackers, Will and Mike, were going to come in and do. I mean, these guys, you know, don't have a full season of professional football under them. And then, wildly enough, to lose their coverage linebacker, Brian Walker, to COVID protocol. So that left them with all three of those guys in that linebacker level. You know, rookies hadn't started a game, hadn't played a game in the CFL before. So, I mean, they certainly held up their end of the bargain.
Jerry, were they able to get enough pressure on the quarterback?
Oh, yeah, for sure. What did Matt Nichols finish with, 71-yard passing, I think, or something like that? It was, you know, that and that certainly will be the key to their success, not only as a defense, but let's remember back to 2014 and 15 when Chris Jones was head coach here. Now, he was a defensive coordinator, of course, so that that really took on an identity for that team. But, boy, they were the tip of the spear, that defensive linebacker. And that's a lot of what I kind of was reminded of when I was watching that game Saturday.
Jerry Montezong of Post Media joining us here discussing the Edmonton Elks. Jerry, I just want to go back to the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, the CFL for a long time is known as that league where it's a lot of passing and you're airing it out. The longest completion in this game was 35 yards for Trevor Harris. Do you think there might be a little more focus on it, trying to get that passing game and the vertical passing game going with a guy like Darrell Walker?
Yeah, for sure. We need to see more of Walker. We need to see more of Ellington, for sure. That can be a definitely dangerous dynamic duo when they finally get rolling. But like I say, you know, Rust was certainly present. They had a nice big, big long completion to Jones early on in the game that was called back on a, I think it was a chop block by yeah. the or something, a hold or something by their center. So, I mean, they shot themselves in the foot as much as they were able to try and do good things out there. But I mean, it was still an exciting game. Maybe not in the second and third quarters, but again, let's also call that half a preseason game at the same time.
Was there one last one for you? When you look around the CFL and all the other scores, was there one game that surprised you more than Toronto walking into Calgary?
Boy, that was not the result I expected. I couldn't wait for that game, to tell you the truth. It was basically, you know, the Calgary Stampeders versus Calgary Stampeders Light, just with all of the signings of former Stamps at Toronto had on their side. Another wild one that kind of shocked me a little bit was, you know, to see a Canadian get a start at quarterback in BC, and then to have Mike Riley come in. Obviously, you know, he's dealing with arm issues there. But just wild games. The comeback they almost were able to do against Saskatchewan. I'm just so thankful and happy that football is back finally, and I think we're going to be treated to something special this season.
It's pretty crazy when you look at it. You know, like McLeod Bethel Thompson throws for what, like 345 yards or something, yeah. And Bo Levi Mitchell's at 250. And I at first I looked at him like, do they have this wrong? Like it's a pretty like that I didn't see coming at all. Now I'm not a football expert like you, but that one it kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't think anybody should be calling themselves or even feeling near to a football expert after after all the time that they've been away. Obviously, so many moving pieces to the puzzle. But you know what? I've been doing this long enough now. I think this is my 13th season. I'm never too quick to count out Calgary. I've just seen how they'll do too much with just when you expect them not to have very much. So I do expect those guys to turn it up, but what a great start for Toronto. That was definitely fun to watch.
Well, Metajohn, thanks a lot for joining us, and I expect you to work on the Elks and their elk call, so it'll be something okay. We can all be proud of.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.